And finally, a competition of another sort for the love of your parents. In today's economy, many adults may find themselves trekking back to mom and dad's only to find someone else has become the object of their affections. Previously on Day to Day, Slate.com's Emily Yaffe introduced us to the plight of an ACDL.
Say it with me. I'm an ACDL, an adult child of a dog lover. Don't worry, you're not alone. When we ACDLs were growing up, our parents were just like all the moms and dads in the 60s. That is, they neglected us. Then we grew up and had their grandchildren, and they got a dog. Holidays are particularly trying times for ACDLs, as we try to get our parents to leave the dog for a couple of days and come see us. Our parents don't believe our assurances that the local kennel is no worse than the summer camp they sent us to. One friend's parents left their son's wedding reception early, never to return, because they had to get back to the hotel to walk their dachshund, Argyle. My friend reports that her father spends hours throwing sticks for Argyle, but she can't recall him ever playing catch with her brothers. I am the oldest of four children. After we left home, my mother got an Akita she named Yojimbo. Mom can enumerate her children's flaws in an unblinkered way, but for her, Yojimbo was perfect. No matter that during his life she was forced to become a recluse because he tried to dismember virtually anyone who visited the house. I was luckily never attacked by Yojimbo, but my mother did attempt to force us into a sibling relationship when I visited. You big handsome boy, go smell your sister. The effort was foiled by Yojimbo's penchant for urinating on me. When he died, my mother went into a state of mourning. For years, she wore a locket around her neck that was bursting with his coarse hairs, a piece of jewelry that looked like it was fashioned at Hogwarts. Her leaden state only lifted when my brother got her a boxer she named Ali. She literally puts his welfare above her own. When she was undergoing what turned out to be successful cancer treatment, my brother had to repeatedly convince her not to cancel medical appointments simply because the procedures would mean Ali would be left alone for the afternoon. All this is familiar to Dr. James Serpel, director of the Center for the Interaction of Animals and Society at the University of Pennsylvania. He has frequently encountered older pet-obsessed individuals. Some older people's creeping sense that they are or will be a burden to their families is eased by attending to a needy pet. Serpel also thinks a pet can become an excuse for an older person not to deal with the chaos of a house full of grandchildren or the annoying personalities of their own grown children. The looming fact about older people and pets is that it can be a race to the finish line. Having suffered through the death of Yojimbo, my mother bluntly hopes Ali outlives her. In defense of the late-in-life pet are studies showing the animals improve the health and quality of life of their owners. But another study from Australia found that pet owners tend to have a slightly lower score on the mini mental state examination. I can certainly understand that. After listening to my mother go on and on about the magnificence of Yojimbo and Ali, I start to enter a mini mental state myself.
Emily Yaffe is a writer at Slate.com. I feel for you, Emily. I am in tough competition with a tomcat named Emery and two Maine Coon cats. Mom and Dad always love them best. It's rough out there. Day to Day is a production of NPR News with contributions from Slate.com. I'm Alex Cohen.